Hi, I'm Mark Zinkowitz, and welcome to the Seed World podcast and part two of our look at therapeutic gardens and the role seed plays in making them possible. If you haven't already, check out part one by visiting seedworld.com/podcast or by subscribing through any podcast app. Today I'm talking with Barb Kresge, Director of Horticultural Therapy Services at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Barb's background spans a wide range of clinical settings, including psychiatric hospitals, the Heinz Veterans Administration Hospital, skilled nursing facilities, public schools, and also pediatric rehabilitation. She's incorporated plant and nature-based interventions in her work in each of these settings. She holds a master's degree in health sciences with a concentration in neuroscience and an undergraduate degree in occupational therapy, as well as voluntary registration as a horticultural therapist. Welcome to the podcast, Barb. I'm wondering if you can explain to our listeners what for you makes a therapeutic garden truly special.
The one that is obvious even to the casual observer is that people tend to breathe a sigh and their shoulders relax. They drop a large degree of their stress almost within less than a minute of entering our garden, the Chicago Botanic Garden, or their own home garden. And that's one of the, it's a difficult field to research, but that aspect, that spending some time in a natural setting, and gardens would qualify, is stress reducing very, very predictably, and there's many studies that have borne that out.
Now, obviously, seed plays a hugely important role in making these gardens possible. What for you best illustrates that role?
Since we are specifically aiming at people who are dealing with some sort of disabling condition, cognitive, psychological, or physical, seed and the plants that spring from it are just the perfect metaphor for all of human life as well. And when you're adjusting to something new in your life or trying to grow past your current abilities to new abilities, every metaphor for what the process you are going through as a human being can be found in the growth of a seed. So the seed has potential, but the potential is not realized unless the right conditions are met. And then there's threats to the life of a seedling, but with nurturing, it'll keep going. The concept that new seedlings that are crowded, some have to be thinned, some have to be cut away, sacrificed basically, for the good of the one you're trying to nurture. And so many of these things resonate with people as they're going through their own life experiences. We have endless opportunities to process life itself with people, and it's one of the pleasures of working with plants is that it has direct relationship to our lives, and yet it's external to ourselves and somewhat indirect, so we can observe and relate at the same time.
The Chicago Botanic Garden has 50,000 members. It's one of the largest memberships of any American Botanic Garden. Every year, more than 1 million people visit its 26 gardens and 4 natural areas. I'm curious, Barb, about all the different plants and varieties of plants that you have on display at the garden. You've been working in this field for many years now. What's the biggest thing you've learned in that time in regard to how new varieties of seed and plants play a role in therapeutic gardens?
We are constantly seeking plants with a high sensory value that appeal to senses, not just vision and not just scent, but textures, even sound. And so when we find new types of those plants, were thrilled. What I have learned that I never was very much aware of is because we do have plant scientists who develop new cultivars here at the garden, I've learned how intense, how long-term, how much luck is involved in that process, in addition to how much very detailed skill. I had no idea how much went into development of a new plant.
Are there any varieties that you're particularly fascinated with?
Well, here in our enabling garden, so that's the special garden that's universally designed to be accessible to everybody, some of the things I like best are, we have this, I'm not going to be able to be specific with its name, but we have an iris that smells like the artificial grape flavoring that they put in children's Dimetap or they used to put in grape knee-high, and people are so surprised and startled to find that scent attached to a flower. And that's a favorite. It's just at the end of its bloom cycle now, so we were out in the garden surprising people with that yesterday. I love coleus for its variety and the fact that it can tolerate some shade. And we do an activity that's called grounding, and it's sort of meditative, and it helps one to turn one's thoughts from disturbing things or bad memories or things that aren't helping you to get ahead. If you focus on the colors and patterns that the colors make in a coleus leaf in a very intense way, it can help pull you into the here and now from disturbing thoughts. But even without the activity, I find coleus just to be an awful lot of fun.
There's a lot happening at the garden, Barb. What's next on the agenda?
Well, yeah, this fall we'll be opening our new Regenstein Learning Campus, and it has a beautiful building, a new learning center, lovely grounds, a nature play garden that surrounds it, that will appeal to children and adults alike. Our butterfly and bloom exhibit will be out attached to that. So we're very excited. That'll open in this fall and be a great addition to the garden. We'll have a nature preschool housed there, a fully accredited preschool program, and they are committed to spending a minimum of 50% of every day outdoors, no, all kinds of weather. So it's exciting.
For more information on the Chicago Botanic Garden, visit chicagobotanic.org. Thank you for joining us today on the Seed World podcast. You can subscribe via our website at seedworld.com/podcast or over any podcast app. Have a great day.